Amen. Take your Bibles, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're going to read the first four verses together. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It's right after the book of Proverbs. For those of you that can't find it in the book of Hezekiah there. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're going to read the first four verses. Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 4. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you. You've been so good to us. Lord, the victories are so numerous. We could praise you all night long for all the things that you've done. God, I pray that you'd use us tonight. Would you just help us as we revel in the Word of God and what you have done for us? Lord, would you use tonight's service to encourage us to do more, please? In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Again, tonight I'll preach, but not a usual sermon. We've been a church for 7 months now. That means in 4 months, 1 week, we can meet with the banker, amen? Unless the owner of the building is going to do something, I don't know. And if he decides to be the bank, we don't have to meet with the banker. We'll just go forward, amen? But I was thinking earlier this week and planning for tonight, God has been so good to us. And I mean that. I spoke with, probably seven different pastors this week from around the country. I talked to pastors in Michigan. I talked to pastors in Texas. I talked to pastors in West Virginia. I talked to pastors in other states that have called me, and we have conversed back and forth. And I mean this, they're excited about what God's doing. I talked to a dear friend of mine, Brother Stoltz, talked to Brother Phil Sally this week. Those of you that know Brother Sally, amen, Brother Ed. I knew I was in comfortable waters. Hey, fathead, how's it going? I said, it's going great, Brother Sally. I knew I was doing good, amen. He said, how's the church doing, Brother Bush? And I began to tell him, and you have to know Brother Sally. He hollered at his wife, honey. You don't believe what Bush is doing. No, what God's doing through Bush up there. I mean, it was just, he said, Brother Bush, I'm standing here. He said, my blesser's overloaded. He said, tears are running down my face. And I said, Brother Sally, I said, they're running down my face because God's just been so good. I said, Brother Sally, I said, this coming Sunday night, I said, I'm going to borrow something from Brother Hiles. He said, everything you do, you borrow from him, don't you? I said, pretty much. If it's not from him, it's from Brother Owens. And he said, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to not really preach a whole lot, but I'm going to take the top off the car, and we're going to drive around town and have a good time. And he just began to laugh. He said, your people probably need that, Brother Bush. I said, we do. I said, God's been so good to us. While Melissa was singing, I wrote down the attendances since Easter. Do you realize we've had 805 people in church in the last five Sundays? That's an average of 161 per Sunday for five Sundays in a row. That's unbelievable. I want you to look at Ecclesiastes 12. Look at verse number 1 again. The Bible says, remember now thy Creator. That word, remember. The word remember means bring to memory again. That's all it means. It means have memory again. Have memory again. So many times we go through life and we forget to remember. We forget to remember. I don't want our church to get so busy. I don't want our church to necessarily get so large that we ever forget what God's done for us. I love the little testimonies tonight. Say why? Because I want to remember. Do you remember that first Sunday morning? Oh, my soul. I had faith for 50 people. We set up 50 chairs and ended up with 102 that morning. Amen. We walked in. Everybody was happy and buzzing, and the music was a-playing. Brother Hollinger was playing the piano, and I had to lead songs, and you were glad when I gave it up. Amen. And nobody was as glad as I was, except he was worse off. Amen. Good night, and all the buzz, and we thought, God's going to do something. Look what he's done. 7 months, we've had over 450 people saved between soul winning and in church. It's just unreal. Just unreal what God has done. We have seen lives changed. We have seen people join our church. We have begun to reach our area. It's just amazing to me what God's doing. I don't know that this is true. Don't go around repeating it because there's no way to prove it. But Brother Sally said, Brother Bush, you probably have the fastest growing church in America right now. I said, I don't believe that. He said, tell me another church that's increased by 60% in 7 months. I said, I'm not worried about another church. I'm just worried about what's going on here in Martinsburg, West Virginia. He said, well, I've been around. He said, that's miraculous stuff. I don't know how true that statement is. I really don't. Be honest with you, I don't care. I don't worry about everybody else's church. I just worry about reaching our area and helping you all. But God's been good to us. Don't forget to remember. I call tonight's sermon, Make a Memory. Make a Memory. Do you know that life really is made up of making memories? We all have them. Some are good, some are memories we wish we didn't have. Some of us have memories that leave lasting impressions in certain places of the anatomy. We have memories that are fond memories. We have painful memories. We'll talk about those, but after I got off the phone with Brother Sally, I sat back in my chair thanking God for my dear friend, and I looked across and I saw some books on one of my shelves, and I pulled out an old college yearbook. Matter of fact, I pulled it out and showed Mrs. Barnes' picture of Brother Nash when he was a freshman in college, and we were all laughing. She and Kirsten were giggling like crazy. We're still laughing at him, so it doesn't matter. But I looked through there, and I had memories of college. I knew Brother Ed before he had gray hair. I've known Brother Ed for 27 years. That's hard to believe. He and I sat in college classes together. Now, he's a lot older than me. Okay, it took him 20 years longer to go through college than it did me, but he just got a later start. But I was remembering some things about college, thanking God that I don't have to ever go through it again. Glory to God. I loved college, but I never want to go back. I don't mind inflicting it on somebody, but I never want to go through it again. But I enjoyed those days. I looked at pictures of people I haven't seen in 20, 25 years. I thought about people that I have seen around the country. I thought about people who are still in the ministry doing things, and just enjoyed myself for about 15, 20 minutes just looking through the memories. And I began to think of pastors around the country, because I got a phone call here and I got a phone call there. And I began to think of things and places I had been around the country. I'd preached in a school camp up in the Seattle, Washington area. Matter of fact, it was the year 2000. I preached in a school camp up there in Seattle, Washington, and you talk about a beautiful part of the country. If you've never been to the upper Northwest, that is one beautiful place to go. Now, I don't want to live there, but it's a good place to visit, amen? And I was there preaching a school camp, and they had probably fifth, sixth graders all the way through their high school there. I had preached on Sunday night in their church, was taught to the teenagers Sunday morning. We left there, we went all all the way up into the mountains in this remote camp. Brother Gus, it was so far out, you had to almost stop preaching because the elk were bugling so loud while I was preaching. You couldn't hardly hear. I mean, they were just everywhere. It was incredible. I stopped preaching once just to listen to it. I said, I haven't heard that before in real person. I want to hear this, all right? I mean, it was really neat. I preached Monday night. I preached Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening. And Tuesday evening, God got a hold of that thing like I had never seen before. And we had a 3.5 hour invitation that night. The invitation didn't get over till almost 1 o'clock in the morning. We had teenagers getting, I didn't know these kids. I had not been there. I didn't know what was going on, but God knew what was going on. And I mean, God revolutionized what was going on there. And what a sweet memory. I remember my days. I began to think of other things that were going on, and I looked behind my desk, and I have a couple pictures of Brother Hiles in my office. And lest you think I'm a man worshiper, I'm not. Brother Hiles was not God. He's been dead for 11 and a half years. He was not God, but he was a man of God. And just like I respect my daddy, just like I respect other human beings, I respected Brother Hiles. You show me a more successful pastor in the world, and I might respect him. But I just happened to be able to work for him. And I remembered my days on staff, some of the good things, some of the things where it was a little tense at times. I was remembering through some wonderful memories of being with Brother Hiles, sitting in his office and talking with him and being able to take him to the airport and staff meetings. Mrs. Lopez, I remember the staff meeting where, you'll remember this one, the one that lasted about 3 weeks because he threw a fit because people had computer programs that weren't legal on their computers at the church. That was not a good staff meeting. You have never seen the wrath of God like you did that day. He never operated a computer one time in his entire life. He said, I don't care what it takes. It's done by the end of the day. You fix it. I mean, there was people crying everywhere. We can't. I mean, he probably spent $40,000 or $50,000 buying new computers and programs just to make everything legal. By the way, that's why at our church, it will all be legal before it goes in. We're not putting anything pirated in. That's illegal. We're not going to do it. I understand why. I watched a great man of God throw a fit over that, and I'm not about to go through that. Amen. We're just going to make sure it's all legal up front, and we don't have to worry about those things. Yeah, well, it costs money. No. But that's why people put those things out there. There's something called a copyright, and that's why you ought not be illegal with things you put on your computer. Anyway, I learned that from a great man of God. Amen. Now, listen to me very carefully. Those are some sweet memories. Oh, I have memories as a kid, going fishing, going hunting. I remember taking my kids out. I remember the first time my boys killed their first deer. Man, those are some sweet memories. I remember the first time Jeff ever killed a deer. I thought about that. I remember the first day Josh tried to shoot a deer. We had to wake him up to make sure he'd do it. But, you know, I just remember those things. I remember special days with my wife. I remember all those things. Time passes very quickly. And the older I get, the faster it goes. Seemed like when you were in school, time drug on. Especially when you hit this time of the year, you know, you can just about see the finish line. And it's like, okay, everything's going backwards, not forwards. Now it just goes so fast. Can you believe this week we start the month of May? It just seems like yesterday or last week was New Year's. I mean, it's incredible how fast time is going the older I get. Life is made up of making memories. Let me give you three thoughts. Number one, what kind of memories are you making? You can never change your past, but you can change your future past. Let me make that statement again. You can't change your past, but you can change your future past. That means what you do now, tomorrow, will be a memory. That means you can change your future's past by doing right today. Number one, build memories that you'll have no regrets for. build memories that you'll have no regrets for. Can I tell you something? We all can say we have regrets. Okay? None of us have been 100% at everything we do. None of us. But I can tell you this, in the general scope of my life, in my career, as far as following the will of God, I have no regrets. Not one. I have no regrets that I went to the college I went to at the time I went there. I have no regrets that when I left there, I went and worked in California for the man that I worked for, even though he changed. I have no regrets that I left there and went to South Carolina and worked with the man I worked there. I have no regrets I went back to work with Brother Hiles. I have no regrets that I came and worked for Brother Owens for all these years. I have no regrets that 7 months ago we started Grace Baptist Church. Amen. I wouldn't change one thing in my past. I mean that. I don't feel like I've spent one day out of the will of God. Now wait a minute, could I have done more? We all can. We all can. But you can spend most of your life enjoying it. You know what? I have no regrets of who my mom and dad are. I don't. I'm honored. I'm glad Mel and Sue Bush are my mom and dad. I didn't have anything to say about it, but might as well enjoy it while I got it. Amen? No. folks, I realize some of you don't have that ability to say that. I talked with a young lady in our church this week. I won't tell you who it is. She has one of the sweetest spirits in our church. And if you knew what her background is, you'd be shocked. You'd be shocked. Her dad's in jail for murder, and her mother's a prostitute in a distant city here. And if I told you who it was, you'd say, there is no way that person. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It just shows you what God can do. Just shows you what God can do. You see, you need, by the way, boys and girls, you need to build a good relationship with your mama and your daddy. Some of you adults need to start building a good relationship with your parents while you still got them. Say, but they're not saved. That doesn't mean anything. You can still have a good relationship with them. You know, too many people have things that they regret. Young people, you teenagers, you college age kids, keep your hands to yourself. When you start dating, keep your hands to yourself. Don't get involved in this immorality garbage. 5 minutes of pleasure is not worth 50 years of regret. And I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I have never met any adult that lived immoral as a teenager that was glad they did. Not one. And I have counseled them by the thousands. You see, if you'll start living right, you can live with fewer regrets. There are decisions I make hoping I don't make a bad decision so I don't regret it for a long time. That means you have to think about it before you do it. So how do you build memories that have no regrets? Think about it before you do it. Before you run into something headlong because your emotion says, do this, do this, do this, do this, step back, think through it, get some advice, and follow it. That's called principles. You'll live a better life that way, I promise you. That means be careful of what music you listen to. Some of you will be destroyed by the music you listen to. And please listen to me. I don't care if it has the word Christian in front of it. And by the way, there is no such thing as Christian rock. That's like saying there is a godly devil. There's no such thing. Okay? I'm talking about what you do on your social networking, whether in your real name or your alias. Hello. Before you do anything, ask yourself this question. What kind of memory will I have 20 years from now from this? What kind of memory will I have 20 years from now because of this? Say, well, I'm not sure if I should. then ask yourself that question. And if it's even remotely possible that it's going to be bad, don't do it. And by the way, don't try to convince yourself of all the good that could come from it. If you have to convince yourself, it's probably not true. Number two, use good memories as a springboard for the future. Did you catch that? Use good memories as a springboard for the future. Can I tell you something? Most people forget about good things in their life. Did you ever notice bad news travels fast? When does good news travel? Never. Folks, okay, we take the tragedy of the Boston Marathon bombing, but we don't hear any of the good stories that happened from the Boston Marathon either. They don't tell you the story of the wounded soldiers that ran on false legs and ran the whole 26.2 miles and all the money that was raised for charity because of it. They don't tell you the stories of somebody running that raised money to help somebody that was dying from cancer. Is all we hear about is all the negative, but we don't take the stories that and the memories of good and build on those. Can I tell you one reason we should study history? To learn from the success of the past and copy it. Learn from the success of the past and copy it. Brother Williamson gave me a couple books last week, and man, I've been eating that one up with all the little biography. Man, I'm having a good time with that book. You know, my only regret is I don't have more time with it. I love reading great leaders of the past. Say why? Because I want to copy their successes, and I want to avoid their failures. And one of the things we should do is remember what we did. Some of you don't know when you have a good day. Why don't you step back, look at what you did, and copy it the next day? Some of you don't even know what it takes for you to have a good day. Do you know what encourages you? Do you know what excites you? Do you know what discourages you? Do you know what depresses you? Some of you just float through life like a little log going down the stream, and whatever hits you, bumps you around, and you just take it as it comes. Man, I got a purpose. I know what to do when I'm discouraged. I know what to do when I'm feeling a little down. I know what to do when I need encouragement, and I know where to go, how to get it, and what to do, and how to fix it. Say why? Because I've studied me. Man, I have a file full of letters about that thick of letters that encourage me. And when I need them, you know what I do? I go pop a few of those open. It doesn't take long, and I'm ready to go. I'll be honest with you. This morning, I felt like I preached a sermon that I could have hatched twin dinosaurs with the egg that I laid on that one. That's how I felt. Say, why? I can't tell you why. It's just how I felt. Say, what'd you do? I took about 5 minutes, got alone in my office. I got a little book in my office. I keep track of my messages and different things that take place in my ministry. Took me about 5 minutes, and I was ready to preach. Say, why? Because I look what God's done for me all these years. I knew how to re-encourage myself. Now, I know I wasn't feeling real good this morning. Matter of fact, I wasn't feeling good at all. But God picked it up, amen? And I believe God used it. It's God's words, not mine. Now, whether I felt good about it, whether God felt good about it, I know this. I know how to re-encourage myself. I really do. I'm not coming to you discouraged. I didn't come to you discouraged this morning. I came awful weak, but God kicked in the rest of it. You know what? You need to use good memories as a springboard for other things. Past success does not mean you're successful today. But it does give you a recipe for success. What's wrong with studying your past successes? If you won someone to Christ in the last couple weeks, well, let's figure out what we did and go do it again. If you brought a visitor in the last 5 weeks, let's figure out what you did and go do it again. if we've done certain things that have become successful, then let's start reproducing those things. Let's not just live off the memory and say, okay, well, I did it. This isn't a museum, folks. This isn't where when you do something, we post it on the wall and say, okay, I did that, I did that, I did that. Oh, no. There's a big lost and dying world out there that we need to go out and reach. Just because you do something one time doesn't mean you're successful. We got to keep producing and producing and producing and producing. You say, well, you're just interested in a huge church. No, I'm interested in reaching every potential person we can reach. Brother Barnes, the missionary that was here a couple weeks ago, texted me today. This morning early, he said, praying for you. He said, you got three more by spirit. He said, I'm praying for you, preacher. This afternoon, he texted me and said, how'd it go? I gave him the numbers and he was rejoicing. Now, wait a minute. That's a man that spent, what, 2 or 3 days with us? I had never met him before, but our hearts were knit. You say, why? Because we're going to have a part in a brand new church starting with that man's ministry. I'm excited about it. We've helped him pay for about the first, between us and the insurance man, about the first 6-7 weeks of that church start, it's already paid for. I'm excited about that. That's God using our church to help around our country. Folks, listen to me. Past successes, I can't live on the past, but I can use it to encourage me to keep on going. Lastly, and I'll finish up with this. Don't let bad memories keep you from doing more. And don't let bad memories cause you to do worse. Did you hear that? Don't let bad memories keep you from succeeding, and don't let bad memories cause you to do worse. Listen very carefully. Bad memories can rob future success, but it doesn't have to. Bad memories only rob future success because you allow it to. You're not looking at a preacher that believes only blue bloods can serve God. Because if so, I got to resign now. I'm just as dirty, wicked, rotten of a sinner as any other human being in this room. Well, you got saved as a young child, Brother Bush. I know I got saved as a young child, but guess what? I still needed saved like everybody else did because I was a sinner. And guess what? Just because I got saved doesn't mean I didn't sin. Trust me. I have the marks in my body to prove it. We're all sinners. There's none of us that are perfect. Some of you that came out of a bad past, you might look at someone like me who didn't spend time in the world, that did not drink. Guess what? I know lost people that have never drunk. I do. I know lost people that weren't immoral. Hello. So just because you think you have a bad past does not mean that you cannot be used of God. That's a tool of the devil. That is a tool of the devil. And when you allow that thought into your mind, you're letting the devil rob you from succeeding for Christ. Scars may not look good, but they don't have to keep you from success. You know, I have scars in my body. One reason I never want to go bald, because if I do, my head looks like Frankenstein with all the scars I have up there. I'm not kidding. Man, I was climbing up a wall one day. I must have been, what, 4 or 5 years old? I climbed up this wall. It's about 7, 8, 9 foot high. I didn't know the last row of concrete block wasn't attached. I reached for it. I came down, and so did the block. Pow! We went to the hospital, amen. Popped that puppy open like a watermelon. I was at my grandma's working one day. I was pulling weeds along her sidewalk. My brother had one of those old-fashioned dandelion pullers. You know what I'm talking about? Looks like a two-pronged fork on a broom handle. Well, I come out, and he went like that, and he stuck that thing in the back of my head. It was so bad, my uncle had to come out and put his hand on my head and pop that thing out of there, man. I mean, it was stuck in. We had this swing set. My brother and I used to see if we could swing high enough to go all the way around. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all, okay, the kids don't ever do that, all right? Never, never, never do that. I'll tell you why here in a second. I got that puppy pumping one day, and I was just about ready to make it all the way over. And when I, like that, the whole back of that thing came up out of the ground. Bow! Why they ever put screws or bolts that go through that thing? But I found one that went right in the back of my head. We went to the hospital again. I did that a couple times. I have more scars back there than Frankenstein. Trust me. You don't want me to lose my hair. You'll call me Dr. Frankenstein. Amen? Wait a minute. I learned a few things. You don't do that when you swing. Amen? It took the third time before I did it, but bad scars look bad. Man, I got scars on my hand. I got a scar on that hand. My brother convinced me to put my hand under the gas-heated hot water tank to grab something one day. Oh, that thing won't burn you? Yeah, right. Never listen to older brothers. They don't know what they're talking about. I still got that stupid scar. Now, wait a minute. I've learned all kinds of things in life because of scars. Does that mean I give up in life? I was working in a steak restaurant one time. I was a senior in high school. Matter of fact, it was about this time of the year. I was supposed to preach senior chapel the next day in my Christian school. We had a policy at the restaurant. If a coffee cup or a glass broke, especially a coffee cup, and somebody threw it away, you had to break the handle off so somebody didn't pull it out of the trash and think that it was good so that they wouldn't use it again. Well, one of the waitresses had come back by the galley and threw a coffee cup away, and I looked in, and I said, "Is that a bad cup?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "You didn't break the handle." She said, "Oh, could you do it for me?" I said, "Sure." I picked that thing up and went like that. That's not the way you break a handle off a coffee cup. When I did that, Corningware does wonderful things to your knuckles. That thing popped off and it, like that, and the blood didn't go this way. It went like that. I said, uh-oh. I turned my hand over, and you could see the knuckle working in there. I mean, you could see all the bone just moving in there. It was a good one. Mom, Dad, you'll remember. Igor was the guy's name was Igor Nikishin, okay? His dad was a Russian doctor, a heart doctor in our area. And Igor come out. He was one of those people like Brother Hollinger, can't stand the sight of blood on a living person, amen? Man, it wasn't just dripping. I mean, it was a steady stream. I said, "You got a Band-Aid?" He said, "A Band-Aid? You're going to the hospital." I said, "Mm-mm." He said, "Yeah, you." I said, "No, I'm not." I said, "Igor, I got to preach chapel tomorrow." I said, "Go get me a Band-Aid." I said, if I go to the hospital, they're going to give me a tetanus shot. I'm allergic to it, and I'm going to be down for a week. Don't you dare do that to me. I said, "Just go get me a Band-Aid." Well, across the parking lot, it'd been about from here to maybe one of the houses across the street. He runs over, comes back. I mean, he's got me sitting in the office with my feet propped up, ice on this. I'm thinking I'm going to milk this for a while just for fun because he was scared to death. He come back in. I got so tired of waiting on him. I wrapped it up, and I was back there working in the galley with one hand holding my other hand up. He said, "Get out of the galley." Oh, okay. I mean, he wrapped this thing up. I couldn't even move my hand. I mean, it was like this. It was great. I'm not even sure if he called my mom and dad to say I got hurt or whatever. I said, "Don't worry about it." I said, "I'm okay." He said, "You need to go to the hospital." I said, "I'm fine. Give me the peroxide." Poured it in there, you know, let it foam a little bit. I said, give me a bit. He's cutting butterflies. "You got to get stitches." I said, "I'm fine. Just close the stupid thing up. I got a gash in there about an inch long on that knuckle to this day. Guess what? I'm still able to use it. Just because there's a scar doesn't mean it's unusable. Now, every once in a while, I look down at that stupid thing to remember what I did. Kind of laugh about it. That camp I was preaching out in Washington State, one of the guys was a special forces trainer, Brother Jerry. I didn't know it. One of the other counselors says, "Hey, sneak up behind that guy and grab him once." No problem. I walked up behind him and I gave him a gotcha, and all of a sudden his foot came around like this. And I saw it coming just in time to get my hand like this, and he snapped my finger. And I mean, snapped it two places. I mean, it was Crispy Critter going two different directions. On top of the fact that his heel landed right at, above the belt buckle and inserted clear to my backbone. And I went, ugh! After I finally got some air going, and he goes, oh no, it was Brother Bush. I mean, it was just natural reaction to this guy. Everybody's over there going, ha, 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 ha. He goes to pick me up. I said, don't grab that hand. I said, my finger is broken. He said, how do you know? I said, look. And he went, okay, we're out in the middle of nowhere. I said, get me something. We found a plastic knife, cut it off, and black electrical tape is all we had. And wound that puppy up, amen? I had to preach that night. I was doing okay till I went like this. And I hit that pulpit and I said, hang on. I mean, I thought I was going to pass out. I hit that pulpit with that finger. Not a good thing to do. It was going ka-thump, ka-thump, ka-thump. Not a good memory. Guess what? I'm still preaching. Just because you have a bad memory doesn't mean you can't do something later. Some of you allow those bad memories to stop you the rest of your life. God says, remember now. Remember now. Some of you have been successful the last several weeks of our spring program, and I'm glad. Some of you have been out, and you've been trying, and you've been trying, and you've been trying. You think, oh, I tried, Brother Bush, but it just didn't work. Guess what? Keep trying. It'll work. Guess what? Every one of those people that said they would come that didn't, they're still prospects. There's still 51 weeks left till the next one. Let's just keep going after them. Why do we want to give up? Say, well, I keep going soul winning, or maybe I haven't even started yet. We'll start. We'll help you. Too many people go through life not knowing what they've just done. Do you realize what you're part of? You are a child of God. The moment you trust Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. Your name is written in heaven. Your sins are forgiven. God puts the righteousness of Jesus Christ on your account. You have an eternal home in heaven. Everything good that you do for him is done in the right spirit. God gives you credit for it, that you'll get rewards for. And you want to complain about your life down here? You realize that you have access to the God of heaven? I went and saw Brother Ed one day. I said, Brother Ed, what you need? He said, $1 million. I said, I'll go talk to my father about it. And it wasn't that one. Say why? Because he doesn't have the million, but he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills the cattle are on, and he owns the gold in the hills under the cattle in those hills. He owns it all. Say, what are we going to do about a building, Brother Bush? I don't know, but guess what? I know who to talk to. Say, well, what if it's going to cost a lot of money? It probably will. But it's God's church, not ours. If it's God's, he'll finance it. Say, what are we going to do? We're going to go out and reach more people, bring them to church, teach them how to tithe so we can pay the bills. That's what it's going to take. I don't look at people as commodity. But if we're busy doing what God wants, guess what? It's going to take care of itself. We do his work his way. God will bless it his way. Abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you thanked God and you just took time to remember the good? Oh, so many times we remember all the bad. Those of you that parent and you got grandkids now, you forget about some of the stupid things your kids did. And your grandkids never do anything bad. Say why? Yeah, I'm thinking, I watched my parents with my kids. I'm thinking, there ain't no way I'd ever got away with that. There ain't no way under God's little green earth I'd ever got away with that. What happened? You know, senility hit early, amen? Yeah, and we suffered for it too. Now, wait a minute. There's a lot of truth in that statement too. We're wiser. You remember, you tend to remember the good and forget the bad. Say why? Because the bad happens. The good didn't always happen. You know, happy day, oh happy day, the day that you didn't pat a kid every day. Then it was just every other day. Then it got down to about every two or three days. Man, when it was down to once a week, you thought you were having a revival cut loose at home, amen? Then the day comes where you're not even sure when the last time you did it was. Can I tell you something? That's what the Christian life is. Just remember, start remembering the good. Don't let those past bad memories hold you back. By the way, I don't care what you've done before you got saved or while you're saved. Doesn't matter. Because God can forgive it all. Let's not hold our sins against one another. Who are you to be God anyway? Well, their sin's quite obvious, Brother Bush. So is yours. It's called pride and arrogance. And I'd say yours is probably worse than theirs because at least they know they sinned and you don't even know it yet. Why do we want to judge everybody? Let's just accept the fact that we all are sinners and let's just try our best to help each other in the process. Remember now, let's make good memories. And let's remember the good memories. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know what you need to remember, but I know this. Sometimes you just need to remind God of what you remember. Maybe it's the day you got saved. Maybe it's a blessing. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and thank God for all that he's done for you.